We've been in this series called Age of the Gentiles. And I want to encourage you to go online and get this series if you're just joining us, because it is a powerful, in-depth teaching, which we'll continue with on today, if the Lord allows me. But we're only going to go as far as he tells me to, because we may have some pit stops and we may not leave. So we've got some word to unpack. How many brought your Bibles with you? Did you bring your Bible? Raise your Bible up. If you don't have a Bible, get with somebody who's got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible on your phone, download your Bible. How many got your notebook? Do you got your notebook? Amen. Get your notebooks. Amen. I want you to make it a habit. We're going to work until we get it right. We're going to be a Bible. Everybody going to come to class with a Bible. Amen. And you'll find out some more of that why today. So Age of the Gentiles, we've been talking about the church age and evangelism. How many stepped out in faith this week and ministered to somebody at school or at the grocery store? Let them know about the love of Jesus. Come on, we're gonna keep working on it till we get that tally up. Amen. Stepping out in faith, because when you step out in faith, God can use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Good to see you, lady. See, she pressed her way. She wasn't feeling that well, but she pressed her way. Amen. It's my baby girl. Amen. All right, I got a lot to unpack, so let's roll. So join with me as we go through a couple of these review points from last week. We got to move quick. All right, so we talked about the age of the Gentiles, which encompasses two components. This is review from last week. Encompasses two components. It was the what? The time of the Gentiles, talked about in Luke 21, verse 24, and the fullness of the Gentiles. Okay? These are the two components of the church age. Okay? The time of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. All right? Let's go to our next slide there. All right, so the time of the Gentiles refers to political and military Gentile rule over Jerusalem, the actual land. We talked previously in this series about how important Jerusalem is, okay? So Christians should always pay attention to Jerusalem, amen? We should always pay attention to Jerusalem, because that is the portal under God's throne. It is the city under God's throne, which is why the whole world is fighting over it, okay? All right, we talked about the time of the Gentiles. The clock began at the exile of the Jews. At the exile of the Jews. What's the exile of the Jews? When Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the rest of Israel into Babylon. They were removed out of Jerusalem into Babylon. Everybody know that story? You'll know it real well today, okay? The clock of the time of the Gentiles does not end until the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ. You with me? All right, let's go to our next one here. This is just review. The fullness of the Gentiles is different than the timing of the Gentiles. They are overlapping, though, right? The fullness of the Gentiles, talked about in the other passage that we read, is talking about the set number of Gentiles to be saved. The count began on the day of Pentecost. In other words, when God took his focus off of the Jews and put it on the Gentiles, he said there will be a set number of Gentiles to be saved. The count began on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved on the very first day. So the tally went up to 3,000. Listen, you're all a part of the fullness of the Gentiles. You're a part of the count. Say, I'm a part of the count. Amen. The full count will trigger the rapture. When the full number that has been predetermined, somebody say predetermined, of the Gentiles comes in, the rapture then can occur. All right, let's go on to the next one. All right, so the time of the Gentiles is a time. The fullness of the Gentiles is a tally, a count, a number. All right, go one more. We, being the church, cannot control the time, but we can control the tally. How do we control the tally? Evangelism. Every time you tell somebody about Jesus and they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? The tally increases. Here's the part. We don't know when the last person has entered in. Right? That last person could be in another part of the world, which means the rapture could happen at any time. This is why we must fund missionary work. While we fund, they can talk about televangelists all they want to, and I believe that they do got some questionable ones on there. But at the end of the day, we must make sure we don't work against our own kingdom. Because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And the greatest proponents against televangelists is the church. And we're working against ourselves when we do that. Can I just give you a little, can we just park here for a second? It is unbiblical to persecute another believer in a secular forum. It is unbiblical and ungodly to chastise, correct, and rebuke, even if they are wrong, another believer, and particularly a pastor or minister, be they fallen or fallen from grace. It is unbiblical for the church to rebuke them on Facebook, on YouTube, on any secular forum. The Bible says, do not rebuke an elder openly. That's the Bible. Oh, we got to expose these false prophets. Most of us have never heard a false prophet. We've heard misinformed teachers. But we have not heard a false prophet. A false prophet, I don't know why I'm here. This is not in the notes. A false prophet is not someone who does something unscrupulous with money. A false prophet is not someone who has a girlfriend on the side. A false prophet is not a preacher who has an airplane. That is not a false prophet. A false prophet is one who teaches erroneous doctrine on purpose to mislead God's people. A false prophet is someone who says something will come to pass and it does not come to pass. So we may have some people who have fallen. It does not make them a false prophet. Most of us have never heard a false prophet. Balaam was a false prophet. Are you listening to me? Completely different. So we need to watch calling people false prophets. If we're going to, listen, you have family members that get on your nerves, right? And when you correct them, you know, you ever have like, you got to, your family member get on your nerve, but nobody else better talk about them? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can talk about them, but you better not talk about them. I got to talk about my mama, but you better not talk about her. My mom said, you better not talk about me, no. We say, I'm not talking about the prophet, but I'm talking about your mom. Why? Because the Bible says do, because see, sometimes even fallen ministers, you got to still understand they're still God's minister. Can we just do Bible? Okay. And so you want to make sure that you do not come against these televangelist preachers, because a lot of times they cut and paste those little YouTube stories and little news stories and they take excerpts out and they never give you the full story. And when they're wrong and the churches go back and sue them and they have to apologize and write letters, that never makes the news. So if we got to talk about family business, we talk about family business among believers. Do not talk about other believers on Facebook. If you need to repent, just lift your hands real. Father, I just repent right now. I'm serious. Father, I just repent right now for talking about other believers on Facebook, because guess what it does to the world? See? That's why I don't go. See? They just... So you are working against the tally. You are working against the fullness of the Gentiles. Are you listening to me? We just in the review. I know we ain't gonna make it today. All right. All right. We can't control the time, but we can control what? The tally. Do I have one more after that, brother? Okay. All right. So let's rock. So we talked about seven dispensations. Seven dispensations. Remember we were talking about the slide from Dr. Chuck Missler. Did anybody check him out? Dr. Chuck Missler. Were you lost after you heard him? Okay, he's a monster in the word, okay? An absolute monster, okay? I look up to him. All right, So he talked about seven dispensations, all right? These are the seven ages of the Bible. So I wanted to kind of summarize them for you because I know some of this stuff is a little deeper and maybe we haven't heard some of this before, but I want your Bible to come alive to you. I want you to grab it like the best book you've ever seen, okay? So the seven ages, there was the age of innocence. This is when God created the heavens and the earth and created Adam and Eve, and they were innocent of sin. But the age of innocence ended when they partook of the fruit and their eyes were opened and man became of a sinful nature. Is everybody with me? Then the second age was the fall of mankind. This was from Adam and Eve being kicked out all the way until the flood. Now, was mankind still fallen? Yes, but the earth, how many know that there are generations of earth? The Bible actually says it. It says generations. We just think, oh, we don't think it actually means generations. We think it just means a new earth. No, no. There's been at least three. There'll be a fourth. Okay? There was a pre-Adamite flood, and we'll talk about that in the next series, okay? All right, so the fall of mankind was ended by the flood where God washed the whole earth of its sin and started over with Noah and his family. Are you with me? Okay, so that ended by the flood. Then after that, there were human governments. And the main one was the Tower of Babel. Now, the interesting thing about Nimrod, the first king of earth, an African man in Chaldea or in Babylon, built this tower, and in our next series, you'll find out how important that tower is and that you're actually still facing the tower today. The tower is in your face today. It started the greatest world religion that most people don't know they're a part of. Our next series is called Mystery Babylon. And please believe you should pack the house, and you definitely want your Bible and your notebook. Okay? And we don't go all the way in, all right? So it was ended by confusion. Remember, he confused the languages, right? So that ended that age. Then the Old Testament law began. There was the promise of Abraham and the Old Testament law, which did not begin until Exodus 24, I believe it, verse number 6, when they actually marked in blood and received by blood the law given on Mount Sinai, okay? So the Old Testament law, we know that age was ended by who? Christ, when he died on the cross, that was the end of the Old Testament law, okay? Then, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the church age began at the day of Pentecost. The church age is what we're in right now. We also refer to it as the age of the Gentiles. Now, in the church age, as we just said, there are two overlapping lines, being the time of the Gentiles, which is where Gentiles politically rule over Jerusalem, and then you have the fullness of the Gentiles, okay? So those are running simultaneously under the church age. The tribulation, okay, so the church age is ended by the rapture, all right? And then the tribulation begins after the rapture, ends by what? The second coming of Christ, which is not the same as the rapture. And then after the second coming of Christ is the kingdom, or what you know as the millennial reign of Christ, and that never ends. There is a slight interruption, according to the book of Revelations, that Satan tries to rise up again. Did y'all know that? Satan actually tries to rise up again in the millennium. This is after we return with Jesus Christ on earth. He tries to rise up again, and then he's put down. And then hell is put in the lake of fire, and all, this is a whole lot of stuff, right? So I just want to see what that's going to be like, but we'll all be here. We'll all be here. Amen? So the kingdom never ends. Does everybody understand the seven ages? Okay, so which one are we in right now? Number 5, right? So we are in the fifth dispensation. So you need to know what time it is so you know how to respond. Everybody with me? All right, so we don't know what the number of fullness is, and so we need to get to work, praise the Lord. And so the one thing I want to say on this is that the time of the Gentiles actually spans across three dispensations. The time of the Gentiles spans across three dispensations. It crosses from Old Testament law because it started with the exile of the Jews to Nebuchadnezzar and comes all the way to here and does not end until the second coming. All right? So the time of the Gentiles has been running all along. So we're going to spend our time between these four today, and we'll see how far we get. Is this helping you so far? All right. So last week I mentioned that the Antichrist cannot come until the end of the church age. Y'all remember that? The Antichrist cannot come until the end of the church age. Let's rock right here. 2 Thessalonians, verse number 2. All right? So we have a lot of scripture to unpack, and what we're going to do is reverse engineer the scripture today. Does that make sense? Means we're going to have to go backwards to figure out what was said up front. All right? That's why you need your Bible, because I want you to see it for yourself. And Paul says something so interesting here. So we're going to read some passages of scripture. Some of them I'll summarize for time's sake, but I'm trying to figure out how to get through 8 weeks of teaching in 40 minutes. All right? It may not happen, but I'll do the best I can. But I'll refer to a CD where I taught it, and I want you to go online and get it. You can go to the bookstore and you can get it. They'll show you the slide at the very end. It's a picture of a series I call Decoding the Prophecies of Daniel. Decoding Daniel. We'll decode some of it today if we get time, okay? If not, show up next week. Trust me, we'll rock. All right? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. You ready? Read this with me. Now, brethren. Now, let's set up the context. This is Paul, the apostle, in the church age, talking to the church at Thessalonica. Okay? And he is talking to them by a letter. Understand that 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, these are letters written to the church. They didn't have Instagram, they didn't have email, right? They didn't have the internet, they didn't have the news, right? You also have to understand they do not have a Bible, they just have the Torah. So they don't have the benefit that we have today. So the letters from their apostle is what they had. All their doctrine came from what they learned mouth to mouth and what they read in the teachings. So imagine Gentiles trying to learn about Old Testament Jewish prophecy that they didn't grow up with. Do you have the context now? So he's writing to them. Now with that in mind, let's read. Now brethren, read this with me. Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Did you catch what's just said there? All right, let me break it down. All right, Gentile church, here's a letter from Pastor O'Neill. Concerning the day of our Lord, the second coming, and our gathering together to him, the rapture. You know, people say, oh, and they didn't even talk about the rapture in the Bible. He just said, I'm talking about two subjects, the second coming and our being caught up to meet him. If you look at that same passage in the Amplified, it means being caught up to meet him. Two separate things. I want to talk to you about the rapture and the second coming. I don't want you to be shaken in your mind and troubled, because people were writing letters as if they were Paul. Forged letters to the church to let that church know you missed it. Because they can't go on Instagram and check and see everybody still at the church at Antioch. If you over here by yourself hiding, and you get a letter forged by Paul, listen, we in heaven right now, and you've been left behind because you're still sinners. That's what was happening to this church. So they were scared. Oh, stay with me. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes. Y'all see that? And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who exalts himself and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God where? Say it with me, that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as he is God. What are they talking about? They're talking about the second coming cannot happen until the great falling away from the church happens first, and two, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, catch this, sits in the temple of God, in the Holy of Holies, sits on the throne and says, I am God. So So it cannot happen until those things happen. Think about this. And then he says here, verse 5, read this with me. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know, read this part with me, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Stay with me. Until he is taken out of the way. Verse 8, read it with me. And then the lawless one will be revealed. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That sounds really loaded, right? All right, let's break down what it means. So we know that there was this church in Thessalonica. They were scared because they were getting forged letters, right? Think about how slow it took for letters to get to churches across the world. They were made to think that Jesus Christ had already come back. They're new believers, they're Gentiles, so their doctrine is not that strong. So Paul has to write a letter that says, even if you get another letter, remember when last time I was with you, I already preached this to you. I already preached this to you, and I want you to remember. Remember I told you Jesus can't come back yet until the great falling away happens? We're still in the fullness of the Gentiles. We're not in the falling away. We're still gathering in. Then the man of sin, he has to go into the temple. Y'all, the temple is still destroyed. So he can't sit in the temple and say he's God when there is no temple. Right? Is there a temple there to this day? No, there's a mosque there. So the Antichrist is not here. Stay with me. So then he says, catch this. Let me reteach you and understand this. You know what's restraining the Antichrist. There's somebody holding the Antichrist back. And until the thing that's holding the Antichrist back is moved out of the way, he cannot be revealed. Catch this. So Paul's doing all this teaching to stabilize his church. And guess what, people of God? The church has still been destabilized by questions of eschatology, by questions of when is the Lord returning. We still have people making YouTubes and major statements that the Lord is returning on this day or that he's already returned. We still have people coming back and saying that they are Jesus. And what's interesting is the amount of people that are actually believing him is increasing. Crazy. And so what Paul says is, let me re-indoctrinate you. Key point here, sound doctrine stabilizes the church. I'm teaching you this and taking time to break down the scriptures so that you will understand clearly when the Lord is going to return. So you are not shaken when you see things on the news. So you are not shaken when you hear false teaching. You need to be able to recognize false teaching. Recognize, I don't have to worry. Sound doctrine stabilizes the church. This is why pastor takes the time to unpack the scripture. I want you to bring your Bible so that you are stabilized. Somebody say, I'm stable. Check this out. Then the Bible say, without doctrine, the children of God are tossed to and fro. So I'm going to stabilize you with strong doctrine today. Amen. So the scripture says this, key point, the church is the only thing restraining the Antichrist from the world. We are the he that stands between the Antichrist and the world. He cannot come till he is moved out of the way. Now, some of us have a doctrinal problem because the church has always been referred to as a she, the bride of Christ, correct? So how did the bride of Christ become a he? Well, remember in Ephesians 5:23, remember the Bible talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, right? Right? For the husband is the head of the wife, and as also is Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of what? He's the Savior of what? So what are we also called? The body of, which is male. Because, catch this, 24, therefore, just as church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, 26, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, 27, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish, 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own. The body of Christ is still his bride, but he loves her as his own body, so he's... The church can also be referred to as a he. You with me? Does that make sense? Okay. So my wife, we're one, but I love her as my own body. Right? So she carries my name. So they can refer to us as Mr. and Mrs. O'Neill, or she can take on my identity. He is coming, which means he plus one. Does that make sense? So when the Bible says, you know what's restraining, and he will restrain the Antichrist until he is taken out of the way, the body, when Jesus comes back to get his body, once it's moved out of the way, then the Antichrist can come. Are you with me? So, all right. So just like, now catch this. The church does not have to face the Antichrist. I know there's a lot of teaching that says we will. I know there's a lot of teaching that says the church is going to be here during the tribulation. The church is going to endure tribulation. You're absolutely right. We're going to endure tribulation. We will not endure the great tribulation. There are two different things. Anyone who serves Jesus, write this down, will endure tribulation. So the tribulation are for those who receive Jesus Christ. Right? So we will deal with some persecution. We will deal with some lying. We will deal with some different things and being talked about for being a Christian. So anyone who receives Jesus Christ will endure tribulation. The great tribulation are for those who rejected Christ. See the difference? Regular tribulation, regular persecution are for those who receive Jesus Christ. The great tribulation are for those who rejected him. They get the Antichrist. Somebody said, Antichrist is not for me. If we have time, which don't look like we will, you'll find out why. I want you to know doctrinally why. Not just because I told you. I want you to see it in the scripture why the Antichrist is actually coming. Now, the church doesn't have to face the Antichrist, but the church does have to fight the spirit of the Antichrist. We are facing the spirit of the Antichrist right now. What is the spirit of the Antichrist? The doctrine is called the mystery of lawlessness. We just read it in 2 Thessalonians. The mystery of lawlessness, if you look at that in the Amplified Version, it means rebellion against constitute authority. In other words, rebellion against any type of set authority. We could preach just right there. When you, so any, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it says that all authority is from God. All of it, Trump included, Republicans included, they have gone through the proper process, at least we believe so up until now, to be put in office. Somebody say amen. Whether you like him or not, he is called constitute authority. You may not like your teacher, young people, but they are called constitute set authority. You may not like your parents, but they are called set authority. You may not like your manager, but they are called set. Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Go on, turn to Romans chapter 13. We may not get very far. Verse number one, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by what? Verse two. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Go back to where we were in Thessalonians. Find that part where we talk about the mystery of lawlessness. Switch to the Amplified Version because I want God's people to understand this. You may not like your manager, you may not like your boss, but if they got in authority through proper means, key point, through proper means, if they were hired as your manager, if God gave them to be your parents, if God raised that up to be your coach, if you joined the team and that's the coach, let's bring it to the church. If that's the elder that you saw me lay hands on and say before you, I'm taking some of my honor and place it on them. If that's the department leader in the church, they have what is called set authority. Are we there? Okay, find the parts it talks about. Yes, there it is. Read verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. In your notes, write AMP for Amplified Version. It means to go back and read it in the Amplified Version. For the mystery of lawlessness, look at this, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority. Help me, Holy Ghost. So if you want to know the doctrine that the Antichrist will operate in, it is the mystery of lawlessness, just there like there was the mystery of the fellowship. So catch this. Jesus had a mystery, and the Antichrist has a mystery. You catching that? So even though the church doesn't have to deal with the Antichrist, we do have to deal with the spirit of the Antichrist. And you will know the spirit of the Antichrist because the spirit of the Antichrist has the doctrine of the Antichrist. And the doctrine of the Antichrist is whoever is in set authority, rebel against them. So we have a generation right now that does not like authority. And so you have people in the church that rebel against delegated and set authority and do not realize they are operating under the spirit of the Antichrist. If your mama said, get home by 11 o'clock and you show up at 11:01 on purpose, you are having Antichrist spirit. Further proof, what does the Bible say? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You are operating under a demonic spirit. You might as well have gotten a Ouija board and opened a portal for demons to come in because you are operating under the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, just like the Holy Ghost, is here before the man is here. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost was here before Jesus was here. The Bible says that when earth was created in Genesis 1, put it there. We're going to go as far as the Holy Ghost say. Genesis chapter 1, there we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. His Spirit was here even when before the earth had been recreated. I said recreated. We'll talk about that next series. Okay? And remember, he was on David. He was on Samson. The Spirit of God was here before the man was here. His spirit was operating in the earth realm before Jesus got here. And if the Antichrist is going to be a copycat of Jesus Christ, his spirit got to be here before he gets here. The Bible says that the Antichrist has not come, but if you go to 1 John and different ones, it talks about, but the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. We see it every time we turn on CNN. We see it every time we turn on Fox News. We see it every time we look on Instagram. They're rebelling against authority. The Bible says in the last days that children will be what? Disobedient. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Folks talking about their leaders. Folks talking about their teachers. Fighting against their managers. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and operate under the spirit of the Antichrist too. Remember, Jesus, check this out. Jesus, the spirit of God, was here before he got here. And then he was born, he raised up. And then on the day of his ordination, John the Baptist, who had a measure of the Holy Ghost, which he had to have to recognize who Jesus was, because you cannot say that Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit of God is upon you. He said, I must decrease and you must increase. So when Jesus was being baptized by John, the Spirit of God raised off of John and descended. upon Jesus. Descended upon Jesus. So the Spirit got on the man that it was here to represent anyway, and then he operated as Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. So just like that, one day the man, the Antichrist, will be here, and the Spirit that has come before him will come upon him, and it will be the day he sits in the temple and says, I'm God. He rebels against set authority, and he does it sitting in the Holy of Holies. So we have to fight his spirit, but we're restraining the man. Is this helping you? Oh, Jesus. See, the church, let's just rock right there. The church has got to watch rebellion. We got a problem with authority. We got a problem when new people are raised up. We got a problem. Oh, I want to hear it from the pastor, even though you his man, even though he sent you. I'm going to go to the pastor and find out what color he want. I don't know what color I want. Don't ask me after I finish preaching. Don't ask me while I'm drinking water and wiping sweat off. I don't know what I'm talking about. Pastor, do you think this will be okay? Oh, that sounds nice. They have now circumvented the set authority. When you know there's a leader over that department and they're going to have an MOH meeting. Am I in the house? See, what we don't realize when we do that, we actually work against the fullness of the Gentiles. Because more people leave churches over offenses with other believers than Satan drags them out. It ain't sin, it's offenses. Oh, I'm helping you today. See, we're going to have a certain part in the system. We're doing high-level doctrine right now so you can be stabilized. But then we're going to talk about a little mini-series in this series called Church Folks. And let me tell you something. Church folks are not saved. Believers. All church folks are not Christians. Am I talking to you? Some of us found out. And see, a lot of people end up leaving. See, it's one thing when we preach and folks get saved and they come up to the altar and they receive Jesus Christ and they receive the Holy Ghost. And then they run into church folks before they run into Christians. Church folks know how to dress up. Church folks know how to pay tithes. Church folks know how to speak all the Christianese. They know how to say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Church folks look like they know Jesus. But church folks ain't nothing but Pharisees in priestly robes. But they hate authority. They hate the power of God. They hate seeing you delivered. Church folks will run prostitutes out of here. Church folks will run homosexuals out of here. Church folks will work against the fullness of Christ. The fullness of the Gentiles. They'll work against it. Because they're rebellious and they hate authority. And most people who hate authority is because they want to be in authority. Most people who have a problem with the pastor want to be the pastor. So they try to be a pastor in the pastor's church. Am I talking to anybody in here? So we evangelize to get them in, and then bad attitudes run them out. The Lord rebuke you, you foul spirit. You will not operate in this church. We will respect authority. The Bible says that there is something called delegated authority. It's called the law of representation. Write that down. The law of representation. It is called delegated authority. It is when the man who is set in authority or the woman who is set in authority takes some of their authority and passes it to another man. You saw that happen on July 22nd when I took the divine authority as the set man of God in this house and I placed it on Pastor Mitch. That's what Moses did to Joshua. That's why I read those scriptures. Y'all remember that? So now he has been set in authority. He has a jurisdiction in which he can operate in. He has a region and what he has operated in. So it would be wrong to go to Arizona in Pastor Mitch's and Lady Shonda's church. Catch this. who I've set in authority, and even though I'm will be the apostle over that house, I've set him in authority in that jurisdiction. And let me tell you something about me. I do not usurp the authority I set in place. So if it's in his region, in his jurisdiction, you talk to Pastor Mitch. And whatever he says, that's what goes there. If anything is out of order, I need to change something, I'm going to talk to him, not to you. God does not usurp his own authority. So he don't set the pastor in a, can I help you with some doctrine? He didn't set a pastor in place and then go talk to the members about the direction of the church. Oh, somebody missed that. Anything that's of God is under some form of authority. Let me say it again. Write that down. Anything that's of God must be under some form of government and authority. Anybody who cannot submit to authority is not from the Lord. If you can't submit your paraministry to government, it's not from the Lord. If you can't submit your relationship to some form of authority, it is not from the Lord. If you dating somebody who can't seem to find his way to my office or to the elders to say, I'm interested in this young lady, he's letting you know I will be an unsubmitted man. My opinion is my God. And you'll have a hard time working out any argument with me because even the Bible is not higher than my opinion. You better hear what I'm telling you. Run, baby girl, run. If he don't pray now, when you're dating, don't close your eyes all the time during worship. Use your good eye. Look at him. If Jesus can't get a hold of their heart, neither can you. The Bible says anyone who, Proverbs 18, verse number 1. I got another scripture to go to, and then we're going to shut it down. Amen. We didn't got to one scripture today. Is it helping you? A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise judgment. Verse number 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Put in the contemporary English version. Go and put in Pomona verses so we can understand. Go to verse 1 again. It's selfish and stupid to think only of yourself and sneer at people who have sins. They don't want to go to no counseling session. They don't want to read no books. They don't want to submit themselves to counseling. You don't want to talk to nobody who has no sense. And the reason you're avoiding counseling is because you don't want to have to come under authority, because you want to have your own party and your spouse is the only one drinking the Kool-Aid. Your Jim Jones spirit self. Listen. The marriage is a threefold cord. Somebody say threefold cord. The Bible says a threefold cord will not easily be broken. Go to verse number 2, and then we'll go to that one, and then we'll go back to where I was. Fools have no desire to learn. They would much rather give their own opinion. If you are in disagreements on a regular basis and we can't ever say, okay, we don't agree, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Because we have to receive with meekness the implanted word. So I don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Let's find out who's out of order. Not to beat you over the head. Let's just say, you know, we don't agree. But we can't afford to be in disagreement because then our prayers are hindered. So let's both submit our little raggedy, selfish, fleshly opinion to God's word, which is never wrong. And even though I don't like it, I got to be meek. So the Bible says the wife does not have authority over her own body. The Bible says let her breast satisfy me at all times. Somebody say, what time is it? Look like breast time to me. Thank you, Jesus. I must obey his word. The Bible says to deal with your wife according to knowledge. So if you know she working and she working because you don't have a job, and while you at home, You still don't clean up, and she got to come home and cook, and then you want to wear her out, and she got to get up at 6. That's not dealing with your wife according to now. So you need to go on and bring yourself, because you're over here talking about your body belong to me. But hold on, we got to get the whole thing in context. Somebody say balance, balance, balance. So we got to submit our opinion to God's word. And if you don't want to submit your opinion to God's word, and sometimes you can't work it out on your own, so you get with a counselor. It may not always be me, but I have delegated authority. So if you got a problem with meeting with another elder, you're not coming against me. You're not coming against them. You're coming against the one who set them. Find that scripture for me where it says, we talk about the law of representation. We're going to go back there. Go back to that point on your notes. What's the law of representation? That one thing represents another. You are saved right now. Say, I'm saved right now. Because of the law of representation. It's all throughout the scripture. They put the lamb on the altar. They put the bull and the ox on the altar to represent the sins of the people. We can't put ourselves on the altar, so we had to put a bull up there. Then Jesus came as the Lamb of God and died on the cross. And guess what he represents? He represents all of us on the cross. So the representation we have to do is get in that baptismal pool and be united with Christ in his death. Why? Because we were not able to take the sufferings that he had. That's why he says, are you able to endure the baptism that I'm going to endure? No, we're not. Not only could we not handle it, we weren't qualified for it. So he died on the cross and represented all of us on the cross. But the way I say I receive what he did on the cross is I say it with my mouth, then I get in that baptismal pool and get buried and raised, and I'm united with Christ in his death. Does that make sense? So his death represents us all. So Jesus would say things like this. If you reject me, you reject the one who sent me. So rebellion against the authority I sent to you is rebellion against the one who put him in authority. So when you reject that elder, when you reject that manager, you are coming against the top level. I hope you catch this. That's Bible delegated authority principle. The whole Bible works off delegated authority. So if you hate delegated authority, you only want to talk to the man. You only want to talk to the CEO. You only want to talk to the president. I don't want to talk to no lawyer. And there's a time to, you know, escalate. Amen. But if the person is following their protocols, stop. Can I just pause here? Stop being nasty to people on the phone who are salespeople. Stop being nasty to the lower level. I know they're frustrating you, but they got to go through their protocols. Now, when they act ugly, then you can raise up just a little bit. But don't ruin your salvation. Because they'll find out, they'll find you on Facebook and find out what church you go to. Don't mess up this church. Am I talking to you? Stop acting ungodly on the phone. Stop starting off at level 10. Give them an opportunity to do their job. Raise your hand like half mass. Lord, I repent. Father, I repent. Because you don't want to incur what you have sown. Okay? So there's a time to escalate. But if you don't want to deal with any delegated authority, you have a problem with authority and you are operating under the spirit of the Antichrist. That's already in the world. Now, how do we know that we belong to Jesus? It's one way. The Bible says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Where's that found? Romans 8:14. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So if you want to know if you are a child of God, it's not whether you come to church. It's what spirit's in you. What spirit is in you? Everybody with me? You don't belong to Jesus just because you joined a church. Oh, no. Just like you're not going to graduate just because you went to high school. Some people graduate. Some people graduate. So just because you go to church does not mean you are going to heaven. He has to recognize his spirit in you. So how do we know that we belong to God? Because we have the spirit of God in us. And the spirit of the Holy Ghost leads us. However, some of us may belong to the Antichrist because his spirit is what leads us. And if you are rebellious everywhere, you are of another spirit. Okay, let me help you out right here. If we say we want the whole church to come to prophetic zone, set authority, who you, when you join this church, you place yourself under the authority of this leadership. Can we just get some straight Bible doctrine? Because see, it's a whole lot of people going to church that don't believe the Bible. And this is why we got to have a revival of bringing your Bible to church, which is crazy, but we have to have it. Because I'm finding out there's a lot of people who name the name of Jesus Christ who don't know the word. And they do not live by the Bible. They love Jesus, but they don't love his word. But let me tell you something. You cannot love Jesus and not love his word, because Jesus and his word are one and the same. They are inseparable. The Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If you hate the Bible, you hate Jesus. If you hate the Bible, you hate Jesus. If you don't know the word, you don't know Jesus. Didn't he say, many will call me Lord, Lord? Many said, didn't we cast out demons? You know, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You know who the people Jesus don't know? It's the people who don't know Jesus. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you want to. Why? Because when you say, Father, can I have this according to this scripture, according to your word? When I look at you, I see myself in the mirror. My spirit's in you, my words in you. So how can I deny myself? When my wife says, baby, I really want this, I'm like, I'm going to find a way. If I don't have the money, I'm going to find a way. Just be patient with me. But there's nothing she can ask me for that I won't give her. Except, you know, I'm still working on cooking, right? All right, so. But that's an ability issue, not an attitude issue. I can make a mean bowl of cereal, though. I pour the milk just right. It's not too high. It's still crunchy when she gets it. What was I saying? Forgot what I was saying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire. If you want to know Jesus, you must know his word, people of God. Fall in love with his word. This is why no matter how high a service gets, we got to go to the Bible. Because see, the great falling away is going to happen because people are not sound in their doctrine. It's destabilizing the church. They hear something that sounds good. I can stay in my sin and still get all the blessings. Ooh, itching ears. Let's hype him up. Let's blow him up on Facebook. Let's blow him up on Instagram. See, people are raising up the teachers they like because they have a doctrine that tickles their flesh. Ain't nobody talking about rebellion in the church and disorder and dysfunction, which rises up the spirit of the scorpion, which comes not to kill the church, but to paralyze the church. But the Bible says we shall tread upon scorpions and serpents. He wasn't talking about actual serpents and scorpions. He was talking about the spirit of the serpent, the spirit of the scorpion. The spirit of the scorpion is church rebellion. When we say we make a clarion call to the church, we want everybody to be here. Hey, we have an all-night prayer. We want you to come in. And you just sitting at home, I got to watch my show. I'm too tired. You may not realize it. Maybe out of ignorance. And maybe just I'm going to do what I want. See, we got some do what I want in the church. And what happens is that creates a culture in the church. And it gets on the new people who are excited. They're on fire. They want to serve. And then they hook up with a church folk. A little goat who wants to be their leader. Oh, we're gonna have a goat severing service. I feel it in my spirit. See, I want to preach the word because some goats don't know they're goats. And so I'm going to preach the word so you can transform back into a sheep. But when you hear the word and you're going to do your own thing anyway, baby, I'm coming for you. I already told, because right now we're in a pruning season. It's time for a good bowel movement at Fountain of Love. Because the Lord already told me my next level is a pruning. And every time we've had to prune in this church, from leadership on down, get yourself in order. Get yourself, circumcise yourself so I don't have to come with the flint rock. Let the Holy Ghost awaken you and say, you need to get your attitude right. It's time to do a cutting in the body of Christ so we can be a church ready for the return of the Lord. And until he returns, be a place, an atmosphere that's not toxic for new believers when they come in. See, anybody got a baby in here? You don't take your baby to no raggedy nursery. You don't take your baby when stuff ain't clean. You don't go put your baby in a nursery where folks show up late. Somebody say amen. You don't take your baby to no nursery that look like people who don't take care of the baby. Jesus got babies out there. And when he comes to look at this nursery, he needs to make sure it's sanitized before I send a flood here. We can pray him in all we want. But see, sometimes he got to wash the house with hyssop. Sometimes he got to scrub the church and desanitize the church and put some spiritual Lysol in here. So when the babies come in, they don't get infected. Because listen, you remember your baby was fine when it was at your house until you started sending them to the nursery. Until you started sending them to daycare. Then they came back sick. Because they picked up stuff around them other folks that don't wash their hands and they don't wash their baby like you wash your baby. If we want Jesus to send his babies here, it's time for the church to get clean. There's something called holiness, without which no man shall see God. You ain't not going to live how you want to in this church, and I'll be your pastor. If I be a man of God, I'm going to teach you the word. And you get yourself circumspect, and you respond, and you line up with the word. Jesus loves you, and the Bible says, those whom he loved, he will also rebuke. I rebuke the spirit of Antichrist in this church. Sitting up in sexual sin, sitting up cussing, sitting up going to clubs and doing what you want to do. The Lord rebuke you. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Working against the leadership of this church. Working against the set authority of this church. The Lord rebuke you. I want you to get right because I love you. But if you refuse to get right, I'm going to ask God to move you. Make room for somebody who want to eat what I'm serving. Maybe this meal's not for you. Maybe you need McDonald's. We're not serving no McDonald's here. We're serving only filet mignon. This is Fleming's up in here. It's Mastro's up in here. Somebody give glory to God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give the Lord a hand, praise. I'm out of time. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of the Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you will tell us about ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that you are circumcising us with the sword of your word. We choose to renounce the spirit of the Antichrist in the name of the Lord Jesus. We deal with the spirit. We will not be led by the spirit of the Antichrist. We will be led by the spirit of God. Lord, forgive us. Come on, open your mouth. Lord, forgive me. Repent. Open your mouth and repent. Any child of God can repent. If you need to go to a leader, you go today and you repent. If you need to come to this altar, you go today and you repent. Repentance brings an immediate healing. It releases your angel to fly swiftly. Some of your angels are delayed by your own rebellion. Some of us have broken our own hedge. I rebuke conversations about leadership at dinner tables. The Lord sees you. Every dysfunction in this church, we speak to every offense, every false offense, every whispering spirit. There's whisperings going on, and God says, I'm dealing with it. I sent this word as warning before judgment comes to your house. We just read that rebellion against constituted authority is rebellion against God and brings judgment. God loves you so much. Wives that are out of order in their home, get in order. Husbands that are out of order, get in order. Members in this church, get in order. Purge us through your word. You said we could become clean because of the word you spoke to us. I thank you that this word is washing your body. Wash us and cleanse us. Purge us with your fire. Stabilize us with your word. In the name of Jesus. Every teenager, getting in order. Your parents say go to bed, you up on your phone all night. Get in order. See, right there, you got to know just how you grow up in the spirit. You can grow up in sin. And little sins mature. The Bible says that sin is birth, and then sin becomes full grown. It brings about death. That means you can grow up in sin. Gateway sins. The Bible says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It started out little, then it grows and it increases and expands. Before it was, I'm just going to do this privately on my own. The next thing you know, you an outright fool, open rebellion. How did I get here, Lord? Because you let a little leaven in. Obedience is not always comfortable. But today we're getting out of our own way. We're going to stop blocking our blessing with rebellion. The whole body of Christ operates off delegated authority. You cast out demons in Jesus' name because he gave you authority to use his name. So if you don't believe in delegated authority in people I have sent, then how can you use delegated authority to rebuke a devil? If you hate delegated authority, you forfeit delegated authority. I hope you got that. You wonder why devils ain't leaving? Rebellion. So today, Father, wash us. We respond to this prophetic word by lifting our hands and saying, Father, I submit to your word. Come on, Arima. I submit to your word. I submit to your authority. I submit to the authorities you have set. And I submit to the authority that you have sent. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. I submit to the authority you have sent. Everything rebellious in me, remove it, Lord. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.